Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to worship at the altar of music and comedy. The giddiness and the harmony of a well-crafted comedy song brings great joy in abundance. Join the tinkling talents of David Timms and me, Phil Nicol. Sit back, turn it up, and enjoy Songs in the Key of Laugh.
You're listening to Songs in the Key of Laugh. I'm Phil Nicol.
And I'm David Timms.
And we have an amazing show today. Well, you have a doozy of a show.
A doozy. We have a doozy. I can't say doozy.
I know, you're making fun of me for saying doozy. It's a very Canadian thing to say.
Yeah, when I say it, it doesn't sound the same. Doozy.
Coming up later, we've got a doozy.
We've got a doozy.
No, you sound...
When I say it, it sounds like doozy makes it sound like
something dirty, yeah. Mommy, I did a doozy. Well, we've got a doozy of a show. On today's show, we're going to be discussing comedy songs and how they hide in the most obscure places. They hide in plain sight, basically, and we'll explain a little more about that. We've also got our comedy song contest, or competition, as you call it.
Our competition. Contest. It's not a competition.
It's not a competition. I mean, send in your songs to the comedy song contest, because there is prize money. At the end of the 10 weeks, we're going to be picking our two top favorite songs from the contest.
Competition.
Nuts contest.
Yeah, that's the one.
We've also got our quickfire parody game, which, David, you did very well last week.
Well, I think I did do quite well last week. Yeah. So maybe it's your turn to take on the baton.
Ooh, I find that one of the most scary things to do, the quickfire parody game. And we're going to be discussing silly songs, singing some silly songs, discussing some silly songs, talking about ubiquity.
No, you did.
Of comedy songs. And we're going to be listening to an interview with one of my favorite comedy musicians ever and a very dear friend, the wonderful Kirsty Newton.
She was a very eccentric, kind of tiny, 4'11" Lancastrian kind of powerhouse. She was like this. She had a different hat for every day of the year. She lived in a bright pink house and she had like a stave, like a wooden a wrought iron stave on her gates, on her drive. Wow. Which had BGG Eshop, which is Who is Sylvia, which was her name, which was it was a lovely musical joke, but in wrought iron on her drive.
So as we've been doing this podcast, David, I've been enjoying sort of exploring comedy songs more. I mean, I was in a relatively successful musical comedy act called Corky and the Juice Pigs, as you maybe the listeners know that already. But one of the things that used to amuse us was that you could find comedy songs almost anywhere. You know, and it doesn't just mean like Frank Zappa lyrics or Ian Drury and the Blockhead lyrics or Jonathan Richman and things like that. But you could actually find comedy in like commercial jingles.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even as far as like even ringtones, like the Crazy Frog and stuff like that.
Crazy Frog.
Yes.
Yes.
In fact, okay, I'll hear a little bit of trivia for you. I was on a show with Roland Rivron, and I had the other guest on the show with me was a guy called Thomas Dolby, who you might be a little young for this, but Thomas Dolby was a music star, like an English electronica star, who wrote a song called They Blinded Me With Science. Do you remember that?
Nope.
They blinded me with science. And it was one of the first samples ever used by a guy called Magnus Pike, who had a TV show called Don't Ask Me here in Britain. He's like an English, actually was Thomas Dolby English? And I'm not sure, but anyway, he had the song, They Blinded Me With Science. So Blinded Me With Science, the song, which went to like number two in the American charts, but it was number one. It was number one in Canada for weeks.
I mean, anything can get to number one in Canada.
Yeah, though. But it was also rated as like one of VH1's like top 20 one-hit wonders of all time.
I've seen the video for it as well. It rated
above The Only Gay Eskimo, which I can't believe. But anyway.
not bitter about that at all.
Exactly, not bitter about it at all. So anyway, Roland Riveron had me on a radio show of his, and it had Thomas Dolby as the other guest. And Thomas Dolby, knowing that this is his one-hit wonder song, he actually had more songs than that, but go and look them up. But he had actually dedicated years of his life to creating ringtones. And he had actually started a company because he was big into technology and keyboards and stuff. Yeah. And he'd gone to Silicon Valley and started a company called Retro Ringtones LLC. And they created all the ringtones. The most famous one, and get this is the trivia, was the Nokia ringtone.
He did the Nokia one.
Thomas Dolby composed, because someone has to compose it. You don't think about that, do you?
Yeah, no.
Somebody had to compose it. So do you know it? Play it.
The da-da-da-da, that one.
That one, play it. That is going to make so many people reach for their phone, by the way, right now. But that's that little piece, that little composition right there has made Thomas Dolby rich, because every time that ringtone rang,
it's royalties.
Thomas Dolby would make money from it.
Whoa.
And he probably just made some money from it there.
Well, congratulations, mate. So something that I find amusing, because they stay in your head for your whole entire life, certain like jingles. For example, there's the washing machines live longer with Calgon.
Yeah, now that seems familiar to me, but because I was raised in Canada, we had a completely different set of jingles.
Yeah,
like similar. I've heard that one, Calgon. Maybe it's because I've lived here long enough that I know. Washing machines are better with Calgon.
Yeah, do you know the one for club? But this was in like the 80s, so I don't even know why I know. Because we used to watch VHSs that were really old. Biscuits.
Right.
Which is if you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club.
I do know that one.
Yeah, they did it in different voices.
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join. And there'd be like guys in a swimming pool, like divers.
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, and then you have David Bowie do it. If you like a lot of chocolate.
David Bowie did this club.
He didn't do that one, no, but I just say it was the only voice I know how to do.
Jacob Club Biscuit. If you like chocolate. Why would he do it with the Canadian accent?
That was the one, though. There was a Jake. Yeah, they did the thing at the end as well. They did the Jacob Club Biscuits.
More chocolate for your money?
More chocolate for your money?
If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join the club. And so much chocolate on their biscuits, it put them out of business.
Did it really?
No. but we had a lot of different commercial jingles in Canada. And I don't even know if they're comedy songs, but they feel like comedy songs because they're not obviously written to raise emotions or, the artist isn't emoting. You know, it's not Jolene. There was one, and there was quite a few in Canada. It was the A&W root beer, which was like a boom, 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 boom. It was this great big bear that used to like as a kid. It just used to make me laugh. Not technically a comedy song, but it's
was it a tuba playing the instrument? Was it
boom, 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 boom? Play it. What is with the percussion?
I don't know.
I never noticed that as a kid. That just sounded like people playing ping pong or something.
Just in the background.
Well, I used to really howl at TV commercials when we were young, especially the more seriously they took themselves. Because, I mean, they're not technically, jingles aren't technically comedy songs, but there was one, I remember at like late night television, there was like a Tourism Ontario had one that went like this. It went, it's a place to stand, it's a place to grow. We call this land Ontario. A place to stand, a place to grow. We call this land Ontario.
So you had to advertise the province.
And we used to laugh because my brother used to, go, Ontario. It's a place to stand, it's a place to grow. We call this land Ontario. A place to stand, a place to grow, Ontario. Something about that just made me laugh. As if that song was going to make people move to Ontario.
Yeah, I don't think they do. I don't think they have the same tactic in Slough.
In Slough, be like, do you want to die?
Oh my God.
Sad and alone, move to Slough. Move to Slough. Nothing happens there. You'll never own a thing. Move to Slough. Move to Slough.
if you are from the tourist board of Slough and you'd like to use that song, we will take in
we'll
some
license
offers.
It to you.
Yeah.
Do you have a ringtone?
Yeah, but it's quite plain.
Because now ringtones, you can actually sample real songs. Like mine's Jolene. I very rarely have my phone switched on, but I have Jolene for some reason.
Do you have you don't have like a separate one for me?
What do you mean?
I just think it'd be nice if you had a separate ringtone for me.
Oh yeah, for you I have Crazy Frog.
You don't?
No, actually, Crazy Frog is an interesting one because it was originally ringtone,
right?
And then it was sampled and became a worldwide global phenomenon hit, being in number one in like how many countries? Like Turkey, New Zealand, Australia, most of Europe. I mean, it had its own TV show.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Like the popularity of that, of a ringtone.
Okay, so Crazy Frog, here's a little trivia for you. Crazy Frog was originally known as the annoying thing.
I wonder why.
Yeah, but if it annoyed people so much, how did it become so incredibly popular?
Yeah, it's true.
A bit like Mrs. Brown's Boys. So, but it was originally, the character was created to accompany a sound effect produced by a guy called Daniel Madimal, who was attempting to imitate the sound of a two-stroke engine. Ring ding 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 ring ding 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 no no ding ding no no do do ding ding do 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 do. It's what he said. It's my
your song.
It's my warning of Greasy Fist Joe song. Oh no.
Oh, you've missed a trick.
The Crazy
you
Frog.
You could be so rich.
Anyone like Crazy Frog? I mean, it was huge. Is it a comedy song? Okay, there's the question. Write to us at songsinthekeyoflaugh@gmail.com and tell us, did you think The Crazy Frog is a comedy song or just an irritating bit of electronica? What's going on? Okay, we're joking. Sorry, everybody. I hope we haven't just lost the entire listenership. I just think that's weird. Why even try and write songs if that's going to go to number one? It's like ding 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 ding. Can you do that in like a jazz style?
Jazz. Oh no, that wasn't jazzy.
No, do a jazz style. Sing ding 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 ding.
Ring ding ding ding.
Do it as Billie Holiday.
Phil, it's my favourite part of the show.
You say that all the time.
I know, I say that about every single part of my show. Right.
It was every single part of your show.
I didn't say that.
You did. You said every single part of my show.
Our show, Phil.
You said my show. Oh, it's our show.
I know.
Can I keep going?
And it's also your show. we're about to do the comedy song competition.
Contest.
Yeah, that. So we've had loads and loads of songs coming in again, which is absolutely fantastic. Mm. Please keep sending them in. We want to hear the songs that you are writing.
Well, so, it is a proper contest.
It is.
And there's prize money, guys.
What is the prize money, Phil?
It's a trip to the Honduras.
It's not a trip to the Honduras, but
you get a gold leaf magnet book. you get to ride camels through Oman.
And to do that, all you need to do is send in your songs to songsinthekeyoflaugh@gmail.com. Now, Phil, who have we got this week?
Well, this week we've got a doozy.
A doozy of a song
from a Masters of the Scene. They're a comedy band from Preston, Lancashire, and they're made up of Phil and Roxanne. They've been kicking out the jam since November 2009, and this song is called Dad Bod. Yes, I can see why you picked that one, David.
What do you mean, Phil?
Because you're about to be a dad.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe I'm looking for every ounce of anything I can get.
Every pound.
Thanks, Phil.
We're going to get given a song we know and have to change it up and make it so hysterical that you win the cup. This game is really easy. Just follow all the rules. The rules are really simple. You're not
It's the Quickfire Parody Game Round. And if you've been listening to the podcast, you know the rules are I give David the name of an artist and a song, and then he doesn't know what it's going to be, and he has to come up with a the quickest parody that he can possibly come up with in the time allotted, which is no time at all, and then he'll do the same to me. Or maybe this week you should give me the one. Maybe
no, Do you know what? I'm gonna go first this week, Phil.
Okay.
I think you went first last week.
Okay.
So
all right then. Well, I think the artist I'm going to give you is Ray Charles.
One of my faves.
I know you're a keyboard player, and I know you like the guy. And the song is "I Got a Woman." Do you know the song?
I got a woman.
All across town. So it's a quick fire parody game, and I've given David the name of the artist, and I've given David the name of the song, and he's now going to come up with a quick fire parody.
Well, I'm just gonna go for it. This is poor. It's really good when you say that before you start. Okay. Yeah, here we go.
Don't do that. This is going to be great.
Here we go.
This is going to be supremely bad.
I know a German way over town. He's good to me.
He's good?
Oh, yeah.
He's very good.
I know a German.
I got a German
way over town. He's good to me.
He's good? That's good?
Oh, yeah. He teaches German when I'm in need. Yeah, he's a kind of German that you need. I know a German.
I got a German.
Way over town.
He's good. He's good.
He's good to me.
He's good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Dreadful.
No. I mean, you could make something out of that because you could just put German all the way through, like, schnell, and play it faster. I got a German way over town.
quick fire parody game.
Okay, Phil.
Can I just say, I generally thought I got a German was good.
I know a German. I got a German is very possessive.
Yeah, but you could have a German across town.
No, I don't.
Could be like your Bratwurst salesman.
Right, it's your turn.
Okay.
Phil, I'd like you to do Etta James.
Ooh, okay, I like Etta James.
I know you do. Can you please do It Must Be Love?
It Must Be Love.
Yeah.
Oh, Something's Got a Hold. It's called Something's Got a Hold on Me.
Is it?
I don't know. Okay, well, you know the song.
You know the song.
Well,
I'm glad that you do, because you're the one who's going to parody it now.
Okay. Okay, I'll do the beginning. Oh, sometimes I have no feeling. Yeah. No feeling, cause I never, 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 never felt nothing before. And I just want to tell y'all right now that I believe, I really do believe that I've got nothing to hold. Yeah, I'm wearing gloves. Oh, I've got nothing to hold right now, child. Oh, I'm wearing gloves. Let me tell you now, I got a feeling. I feel so strange. Nothing's going on between my hands and my brain. Step by step, I got a brand new walk. I even sound sweeter when I talk. I said, whoa. 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 Yeah. I'm wearing gloves, you know, I'm wearing gloves. Yes, gloves. Okay, that wasn't probably my best effort. Do you write comedy songs?
Ever dream of being the next Tim Minchin?
Or being Tim Minchin?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Why not enter our Songs in the Key of Laugh comedy song competition and maybe appear on our podcast?
With Tim Minchin.
That's better.
The Songs in the Key of Laugh comedy song competition. Enter today. Visit songsinthekeyoflaugh.com for details.
Okay, Phil. We are now going to introduce our guest, who is a wonderful mutual friend of ours.
Yes, it brings us to our interview section of Songs in the Key of Laugh. And this week's guest is not only a great comedy musician, she's also one of my dearest friends. She's played on stage with me. She's played in shows with me. She's driven a car around with me in it. And she's been on tour with me. She's phenomenal. She's hilarious. She's wonderful. And she is Kirstie Newton.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The guest on today's show is someone you might know. And if you don't, that's your own fault. But you'll know them soon.
You know you will.
This jingle has been personalized for a guest that we hope that you recognize. And this week their name is... Insert name here.
It's Kirsty Newton. Kirsty Newton is an all-round muso, funny lady. She played with Mitch Benn and the Distractions. She runs a distraction club, a monthly gig in sunny downtown London. She's played with Rich Hall. She's played with Phil Nickel. That's me. Wait a minute, I'm talking about myself in the third person. She's done it all, really, and is also a fantastic musical director in her own right. So welcome to Kirsty Newton. Hi, Kirsty.
Hi. Hello. Yeah. Two of my favourite correct genders. Hello. Yeah.
I think we should probably have like an applause thing where I go, welcome, Kirsty Newton, and you hear, yay!
I can arrange that.
Can you? Don't have to do my own like I just did.
We'll edit it in, definitely.
What we'll do is we'll just sample that and then I'll tweak it so there's hundreds of you cheering your own name.
Oh, that's like my last night's dream.
Why? What was your last night's dream?
It was that. Yeah. Just
No. You can't just say were they cheering you on? Because I just imagine you only ever mention last night's dream if it's like, and then what happened?
Yeah, then I woke up and couldn't get back to sleep and then went down a rabbit hole of reading about pathological liars. That was my last night, actually. But that's nothing to do with musical comedy.
I think it's funny. What sort of music do you listen to, Kirsty? Do you listen to popular music or do you like old funk or folk? Or what's your thing?
Listen to a lot of stuff. Because I like the variety, so I actually like listening to the radio. If I'm in the car, I will usually kind of flip through all the radio stations just until I find something that makes me go, "Ooh, what's that?" Or something I can, you know, belt out really at the top of my voice with the windows down, and make people jump at traffic lights.
If I'm listening to car radio, I like to go for like I dial around till I hear something like.
The UCB is the one that I always kind of go, I have to have a little listen to this Christian kind of, yeah, they're really earnest. They really mean it. They really mean it. It's amazing to me. I love it. And then a bit of Greek kind of traditional stuff. But what were you going to say, Phil? Sorry.
Traditional Greek stuff. I love a bouzouki.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, yeah, this is, I would never choose to listen to this, but there it is. And I'm choosing to listen to it now. But I do like listening to, recently I've been listening to a lot of kind of music by young bands and young artists. Like there's a female artist called Arlo Parks who I was like listening to, and she was on the radio a lot, and I really liked her. And then I was like, wait a minute, I used to teach her.
What?
I used to teach her. I hadn't, because that's her stage name, right? So I was like, wait a minute, I was her music teacher. So I'm slightly responsible for her being this, like, you know, award-winning artist. But actually, yeah. Clearly not. But yeah, I think I taught her recorder. Makes me feel like this kind of old, wizened kind of, back in the day. But, you know, she's very young.
when she gets her Grammy and she mentions you.
She won't, though. I taught her like for a year when she was 8.
You never know. That could have been the year that, you know, made everything work for her.
Well, when you get your Grammy, you can mention her.
Yeah.
I thank Arlo Parks for all of the support she gave me as a young student.
I love your optimism. I love your optimism.
Arlo Parks is a pianist, right? She play piano?
She's just a kind of a bit of everything. Oh. I remember she was very, very good as a kid. Like, you know, some kids just stand out and you go, you're amazing. You just naturally got it. And she kind of was really good at everything.
So the thing is, okay, so this actually brings us to a more interesting question than because the idea of asking people what they listen to is to figure out what their inspiration is. But actually, as a music teacher, you've probably inspired countless musical minds. So I think it's an exceptional thing to do.
Yeah, I kind of got into that by accident because my lovely friend Russell, who we lived together in terrible houses as students, and he went straight from completing his music degree into this job in Fulham Prep, and he at the time, like, this school was tiny, so he was the only music teacher, and then the school kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they needed another music teacher, and he was going, you'd be perfect, come on. I was like, over my dead body, I will never be a teacher. And then he kind of wore me down, and I got bored of being a shop girl and being kind of talked down to by public, so I ended up being a teacher. Because the great thing about private school is that you don't need any qualifications. You can just get by on you know, natural razzmatazz.
Natural razzmatazz.
That's on my CV.
I should put that on mine. I'm also a music teacher, I don't have a degree, but we know what we're doing, which is lovely.
Exactly.
And,
same here.
You know, after a few years, the kids, they stop talking down to you, which makes it much easier.
Exactly.
What is your actual musical background? Because this is a question we ask everyone. You're not conservatoire. You are a bedroom genius, right?
No, because I did learn. I did have piano lessons. So I did, only because my primary school music teacher... Well, my primary school teacher, who also was the music teacher of the school, I went to a school that's literally over there behind you. And she got my parents in when I was about 8 or 9 and said, you need to get a piano and I'm going to help you. There's this amazing teacher called Sylvia Forbes, and she teaches at the Manchester School of Music, and she's got a really long waiting list, but we can help you skip that. Yeah. So both me and Heather benefited from this as well. So we both kind of got driven an hour to, 45 minutes to Manchester every Saturday morning and had this brilliant piano teacher. She was fantastic. She was really good at kind of focusing on the musicality rather than the technicality, which was to me very boring. So she managed to kind of slip that in when I wasn't noticing, and just made everything really fun. She was a very eccentric, kind of tiny 4'11" Lancastrian kind of powerhouse. She was like this. She had a different hat for every day of the year. She lived in a bright pink house and she had like a stave, like a wooden a wrought iron stave on her gates, on her drive. Wow. Which had BGG Eshop, which is Who Is Sylvia, which was her name, which it was a lovely musical joke, but in wrought iron on her drive. She was a very, very cool lady and totally ageless. I didn't know how old she was. She was really twinkly. She always had like barley sugar sweets or Fox's Glacier Mints to give you. And she made everything really fun. She'd dance around while you were playing and really get you to tell stories with the music. But sadly, she died when I was 13. And looking now with hindsight, that's kind of when I started going, what's the point? I'm going off the rails now. Why?
I know that feeling very, very much. One of my music teachers, one of my piano teachers that I had, decided that I should try and play some jazz, which was very, very nice. But when we were talking about this, he said, "Oh yes, so we're going to play Bryan Adams," because apparently Bryan Adams is jazz. And so that was that. It's not jazz. I learned that very, very quickly and then moved teachers. But also about 13, 14, I went, no, not anymore. But then I picked up the blues and that kind of changed my idea of the piano, which was nice. Having the right teacher is so
it was, but I think the important thing was that I was already I was absolutely fascinated with pianos, even because we didn't have one. So anytime I was anywhere there was a piano, I'd kind of sneak up to it and have a little, and then, you know, I could always just pick out song and play by ear and stuff. So I was always already doing that, and I think that's what my teacher was trying to channel that into, actually being able to play rather than just playing with, you know, these fingers.
Do you what's the first comedy song that you remember hearing? Because I'm assuming, knowing a little bit about you, that you've got an ear for funny stuff as well.
We had lots of records. My dad was a huge music fan and had a huge record collection and listened to me. Well, they even built their own house so he could play his records as loud as he wanted. Wow. Because he'd kind of grown up in a house where he wasn't allowed to do that. So, yeah, actually, it was cheaper for them to build a house than to buy a house. So they just kind of built it next to a wood in the middle of nowhere and he just used to blast out music all the time. So that's what I grew up with. And so we had our own records from being tiny, tiny. I can't remember not having records. And our favourite kids' records were like a compilation called All Aboard, which had loads of different kind of funny songs and songs for kids. But so I guess my favourites off that were Right Said Fred by Bernard Cribbins and The Gnu Song by Flanders and Swan. And so it had that kind of thing. It had things like The Laughing Policeman and The Ugly Duckling and things like that. It had all that. But also my other favourite was the Muppets album that I had. So big influence was Muppets. In fact, one of my nicknames at primary school was Fraggle. So, yeah.
Is that because, no, it's a podcast, but can you describe yourself then, Fraggle? I mean...
well, yes, no one has ever argued with that. They've all gone, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess because I've got red hair, I've got kind of big fluffy red hair, like Red Fraggle, and I'm kind of bouncy and smiley.
You've got Fraggle energy.
Fraggle energy.
That's what the kids are saying now, right? They're saying big Fraggle energy.
So yeah, I guess those were my kind of really formative. And my dad used to play things like Tom Lehrer, and I had a kind of quite a, and I used to watch Victoria Wood and. Just, you know, and that all the songs they used to do and things like Not the 9 o'clock News. And we were allowed to watch Monty Python, even though it was naughty, because we were allowed. That was one of the ones we were allowed to watch, which we shouldn't really have been watching at those ages. But yeah, I guess all those songs kind of went in there somewhere.
Yeah, I remember my brother, we weren't allowed to really listen to too much secular music, and only the odd little bit got escaped out. And then my brother, when he was old enough to have a car, he had a cassette deck in his car, and he used to be naughty and listen to Monty Python albums in there. And I remember sit on my face was one when I, as a 9-10 year old, I didn't even really know what it meant, to be honest, but it just sounded funny. Sit on my face and tell me that you love me. And I think my brother would laugh even harder at me laughing at it, because he knew what it meant and I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, I think this is, even when you don't completely understand why something is so funny, it's still funny. Mm. And you can still find something in it. And I think a lot of kids pick up on the energy of a joke as well. It maybe not the, you know, the whole meaning of it, but it's also the delivery, isn't it? And just like things like The Young Ones, you know, I didn't really understand a lot of what was going on, but it was so anarchic and so kind of cartoony at the same time. It was so much fun, you know. I
quite like that I've been able to rediscover these things as I've got older. So when I first heard Monty Python and I was very young, I went, oh my goodness, this is the greatest thing in the world. But obviously I saw it in one way. But now, looking back on it, I can go, now I actually fully understand the jokes, and the music is still absolutely superb. So it's quite nice.
Comedy songs, they tend to have a comedy feel to them, even if they are I think they've be, I think they've become more. They've become a bit more. The music become a bit more. Modernized, no, that's not the right word. Like, oh, like old comedy songs, like but the music hall, but you know, or the Muppet theme. It sounds upbeat and funny, and it just immediately they reek of comedy songs. But comedy songs have become a much more. I'm trying to sublime sort of start.
Yeah, there's more nuance now, and especially if you're doing like a parody of something, especially a parody of something quite po-faced, then you know it's called the juxtaposition of the lyrics with very serious music can also really work. I remember, like, I guess I'm trying to think about what I was watching when I was a kid. That would be kind of watching. Like French and Saunders doing parodies and things like that, I guess, and it being funny because it was close to the original, but it wasn't kind of hamming it up so much in the music, just more in the performances.
But it's actually really hard to get a really good parody. I think once you've got the concept,
it is. And we had actually when we were doing so, I kind of started Distraction Club. It was our 10th anniversary the other day. Can you believe
it?
So the Distraction Club was a musical comedy night in London until a year ago, which we only put on musical comedy. So it was either comedians who wanted to do some music, or it was, you know, purely musical comedy. But we had quite a few comedians going, can I just not do any music? And we were like, no. That's not the point. The point is there's very few places where it's just musical comedy. In fact, there's apart from the Musical Comedy Awards, which is like once in a blue moon, there wasn't anywhere that was purely musical comedy. So we wanted to kind of get the musical comedians together because I loved curating it because I try and put on really completely different acts next to each other. So, you know, just to show the kind of the breadth of the genre. And the different kinds of talent within it. But when we started, we had a fast rule, which was people were not allowed to just turn up and to change the words to a song because it was, we wanted to show that it was more than that because a lot of people were doing it. And some people do it really well, but some people were doing it quite lazily. So it was just that whole thing of actually, we want to showcase people who've put a bit more effort and thought into it. So that was the... And then occasionally we'd let somebody get away with it if they were really good at it. And they did all this stuff. So, yeah.
I loved the Distraction Club. Me and Lily, as the Ruby Darlings, came and did that once. we also did the alternative Eurovision contest together, actually.
God, I forgot I did that. Yes.
Yeah. That was at the Spiegel tent. It was very, very good fun.
It was good. Yeah, I totally forgot I did that. Just to mention the others for Distraction Club, just because you know, I haven't seen them in ages, and actually since I've moved up north, I've kind of left a lot of it to them. But big shout out for Mitch Benn and Ivan Shepherd, who's the other distraction in the Distractions now, and Matt Blair, who does all the teching.
So let's talk about musical comedy more specifically for a second. How you've written musical comedy songs. You said earlier that you've not written as many as your partner, but you've written quite a
few. Well, I know I've written a few.
You've written a few.
I wrote my first one when I was six.
You wrote? Do you remember it?
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
I mean, I wrote. I don't think the guitar's in tune. I wrote it on guitar. It's before I had a piano. I couldn't play guitar either, but it was like a three chord thing. I'll play it on the piano, but it was on the guitar. It's a classic.
Let me introduce a 6-year-old Kirsty Newton sings her first comedy song.
I'm also going to sing it an octave down. Because no one wants to hear that. There was a man who had a dog, and the doggy did something, so he threw it out. And what did that poor dog do after that? The poor dog, he sat on a log, and he said, I bet you can join in the second verse.
I can, yeah, definitely.
There was a man who had a cat, and the cat did something, so we threw it out. And what did that poor cat do after that? What do you think the cat did?
Went meow, 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 meow.
Before that, though, what did it do? The poor cat. He sat on a mat. And he meow, 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 meow. There were many, 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 many verses. There was a frog. There was a sheep. I just texted Heather and said, "What other verses were there to the man, the dog song?" And she just had this whole list. I was like, "Wow, that was a long song."
yeah, that man was an abuser.
Yeah, I called the RSPCA on him, and that was the end of the song.
So it brings us to my favorite part of the interview, which is we've asked you to prepare a song for us.
Kirsty, it would be absolutely wonderful if you could please sing us one of your beautiful, beautiful comedy songs.
Would you like the song that I've got the most complaints about?
Okay. Absolutely.
This is on you then. Sally always wished she had a sister, someone there to share the good times and the bad. Frequently she felt her life was lacking something fundamental, and she longed for the sibling love she never had. So one day she went and asked her dear old mama why she ended up a lonely only child. But she wasn't ready for the explanation when her mama sat her down and then she smiled. You ate your twin in the womb. We weren't sure if you were evil or just needed more room. You ate your twin in the womb. Now Sally never asked no one so questions anymore. Hey, see, it's jolly, isn't it? Danny was a quiet boy who never fitted in, but nobody knew why he was so depressed. Secret brother Cletus died when he was still a fetus. It's the reason Danny never gets undressed. He ate his twin in the womb. Well, he kinda just absorbed him, so it's not all doom and gloom. He ate his twin in the womb. That's why Danny's shoulder has a nose, one ear and several teeth. Now all left-handed people here, please raise up your hands. There's only two of you, so don't any. Well, I've got something to tell you, you need to understand. There's a scientific theory that you started off first to. Now there's no point in denying it, cause we're all onto you. You ate your twin. You got away with it. Those siblings you consumed. You ate your twin in the womb. That's why you can't use scissors, cause your brother was your food. You ate your twin in the womb. I knew that lot was sinister, and now we got the proof. You ate your twin in your own mother's womb. Now everybody knows all those weird left-handed folks are disgusting, dirty cannibals.
Kirsty Newton, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So Laugh podcast with David Timms and myself, Phil Nichol. That was absolutely fantastic. Thank you for chatting with us.
You're welcome.
And here is our goodbye jingle.
Yay.
Goodbye, adios, farewell. You'll be glad to hear that we think that your interview went well. But we have other things to get on with now, so you're gonna have to go. I'm sure our paths will cross again, but whoever really knows? It's been fun, it's been musical, it's been comical at times. But now we have to leave you, so goodbye, goodbye.
That brings us to the end of another episode of Songs in the Key of Laugh with David Timms.
And Phil Nickel.
And that was Kirsty Newton you were listening to. Please check out Kirsty. You're going to absolutely adore the woman. And also Masters of the Scene, congratulations on entering the Comedy Song Contest. Not competition.
Contest.
Yeah, contest.
Competition.
If you'd like to hear more or see more from Kirsty Newton, why not go to her website, kirstynewton.com, or follow her on Twitter, @KirstyNewton, or on Instagram, @KerDoodles.
And please do keep on sending us in your comedy songs for the Songs in the Key of Laugh comedy song competition at songsinthekeyoflaugh@gmail.com.
And if you'd like to support this podcast, join us at patreon.com/songsinthekeyoflaugh or ko-fi.com/songsinthekeyoflaugh.
I've been David Timms.
And I'm Phil Nickel.
Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.